हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 32, Chapter 16, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu's Spontaneous Devotion, further described. 1.2.289. Since Kama Rupa and Sambandha Rupa Bhakti, which are caused by prema alone, take shelter of the Nitya Siddhas, they have not been discussed in this section thoroughly. Right? Because how much can you get into? Because they take shelter of the Nitya Siddhas, so it's not going to have any importance to us other than knowing that that position is something to aspire for, right? Because this is Rag Atmika, so we're going to follow Rag Anuga. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada. Spontaneous love of Krishna as exhibited by the Vrishnis and the denizens of Vrindavan is eternally existing in them. In the stage of devotional service where regulative principles are followed, there is no necessity of discussing this love, for it must develop of itself at a more advanced stage. Right? So you don't need to get into the detail, because you won't be able to do anything with it anyway. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Jiva Goswami. Swarupa here means cause. The Nitya Siddhas, such as Nanda, are the main shelters of this type of bhakti. Because of this, these two are not thoroughly discussed in this section on sadhana, but will be discussed in other chapters, right? Because we're talking sadhana, this is not, but we'll see later they'll get into these details, because the southern and the western side of the ocean, that will be specifically about this, you know, the various levels and all those aspects. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. There are many sub-varieties in Kama Rupa and Sambandha Rupa Bhakti. Why are these varieties not mentioned? This verse answers, these two, Kama Rupa and Sambandha Rupa Bhakti, exist only on the level of prema. Right? So when you say Nitya Siddha, means when you come to the level of prema, then you're a Nitya Siddha. Right? So once you come to prema, there's no difference between those who went from the neutral stage to prema and became Nitya Siddhas. In other words, they were never conditioned. Or those who became conditioned and then come to the platform of prema. At that point, they're all just Nitya Siddhas. Yes. Does that make sense? Yeah. The main places in which they are manifest are the Nitya Siddhas, such as Nanda. The word ashrayata, taking shelter of, expresses a state of being remain within. Because these two types of bhakti remain within the Nitya Siddhas, they are not thoroughly discussed in this section dealing with sadhana. Na atra samyak vicharite. However, they will be discussed in appropriate chapters. It will come up, the details, but it just is not going to come up here. Because there's no point for us. We just know it's there, we're inspired, we see it's a much better situation. So we see the benefits, we aspire for that. But the details of it, we wouldn't be able to appreciate. Mm-hmm. Someone says.
Can we say that this is also a part of a training to know where we are at which level, to know which we are?
Yes. It is also that we should know where we are, because there's no benefit in considering yourself on a higher or lower level than you are at, because if you want to progress, you have to progress from the position you're in.
Yes.
Because the false, you try to be more advanced, or to consider yourself less, so you don't even make the endeavor. You know. So, but Briti. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that having described the qualities of Ragatmika Bhakti as a secondary topic, the qualities of Raganuga Bhakti, the topic of this section, are now described. Right? So in this section, it's a secondary, means it's supportive, because the Raga means, how do you know what Raganuga is? How do you know you're following Rag unless you know what that Rag is? Does that make sense? So knowing what Ragatmika is, then you can appreciate Raganuga. So it's only described that much to see the context. Okay. 1.2.290. From these two types of Ragatmika Bhakti, Siddha Bhakti, two types of Raganuga Bhakti, Sadhana Bhakti, called Kamanuga and Sambandhanuga Bhakti, are derived. Right? So from the Kama Raganuga Bhakti, then you get that Kamanuga. And from the Sambandha Ragatmika Bhakti, then you get some Sambandhanuga Bhakti. Does that make sense? 1.2.291. The qualification for Raga Bhakti is as follows, right? Because the point is it's Rag Bhakti, it's still one entity. It has two divisions, the two types of Raga or Ragatmika. Right? So they give two types of Raganuga. You know, two branches. But it's still Raganuga. So you get, does that make sense? Unless you have the general, then the derivative of that's not going to function. Yeah? That person who is greedy for attaining a bhava similar to that of the inhabitants of Braja, who are solely fixed in Ragatmika Bhakti, is qualified for Raganuga Bhakti. Right? So, for the one who is greedy to attain a bhava similar to that of the inhabitants of Braja, right? So that inhabitants of Braja, they are solely fixed in Ragatmika Bhakti, right? In other words, if we're trying to attain the attitude and position of the yogic Brahmins in Vrindavan, that's not a Ragatmika Bhakta. Right? So it has to be about those who are Ragatmika Bhaktas, right? So, you're greedy to attain. Not that it's interesting or that'd be nice or yeah, kind of, you know. It has to be that's constant. That's the symptom of Raganuga. Mm-hmm. Right? So just having an idea that, you know, one wants to be in Braj, one has an interest of this kind of service or that doesn't mean it's Raganuga. You may be aware, but it's when that greed is there that's just what you're interested in. You're focused on that. So that means it'll reflect in everything you do, not just when you're around other people in times of doing direct sadhana, that then you'll be manifesting these symptoms. This means when you're sitting on your own with your phone and nothing to do, you're still going to be manifesting this greed for bhava similar to them. Right? Does that make sense? Yes?
Yes.
In other words, for those that it does make sense, it makes sense. And for those who it doesn't, then congratulations. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Having described the characteristics of Ragatmika Bhakti, of the Siddha Bhaktas, right? You know, the fun part is when we said the second statement, then all the persons who were not reacting to the first statement, then they reacted and then that. Okay, having described the characteristics of Ragatmika Bhakti of the Siddha Bhaktas, the author now describes the characteristics of the Raganuga Bhakti of the Sadhakas, right? Because Raganuga, the spontaneous, is still sadhana, right? Because those who sometimes profess it on its own, then they're professing it as if it's not sadhana bhakti, right? They're making Vaidhi as sadhana and then Raganuga as its own entity. But here, no, you're either practicing or you're doing. You know, it's not that, you know, you're practicing and then there's something else and then you're doing, right? Like I said, you're practicing, then you, it means you're either practicing it or you're an enthusiast, who means he's not necessary, and then you're doing. Right? No, it doesn't have that. He who is greedy to attain a bhava similar to that of the people of Braja, who are fixed in Ragatmika Bhakti, is qualified for Raganuga. So it's the people of Braja, right? Here in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So it's not, and Prabhupada mentioned before, it's unless you have that general aspect of appreciating that Ragatmika Bhakti of the residents of Vrindavan, then you can't get to the specific. Like you say, these two types of Ragatmika means there's Ragatmika Bhakti. Within that, there's two types. So if you don't appreciate Ragatmika Bhakti, you're not going to appreciate the two types. Just to say, oh, I only appreciate Kamanuga or Sambandhanuga. That's not actually appreciating Ragatmika. Yes.
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that everything is within me and everything, and I'm beyond this also.
Yes.
So that aspect is of Krishna as a person, which is referring to.
Yes.
And only who understands this as an exclusive focus.
Yes.
They begin to. That is the first step to even come to, like, no Raganuga state, because
right.
unless you know him beyond these things, how one can.
Yes.
How one can even spontaneously serve, because
yes.
otherwise there is no spontaneity. Either.
Yes. Yes. Does that make sense? He says, if you're focused on the person, that's where the spontaneity is.
Mm-hmm.
The spontaneity isn't that I'm spontaneous in that I don't like following rules, therefore I don't follow the rules. That makes me on the platform of spontaneous devotional service. Right? In other words, when we say about he's not affected by the rules, means he's not affected by the secondary because he's absorbed in the primary. Does that make sense? But many times we'll take it, no, it's about the secondary. I don't have to follow the rules because I'm more advanced.
Yeah.
So we're looking at it from the secondary and we're applying it in the secondary. But here it's not about the secondary, it's about the primary. So when once you see Krishna's beyond all these aspects of Brahman and Paramatma, beyond being the Ishwara, beyond being the all-pervading, that he, as a person, likes to interact with the devotees based on prema. Does that make sense? Then it takes on, that's where then we have spontaneous devotional service. Because it's about the person. So it's a very nice, just shift the focus. Okay. Okay, does that make sense? Because why we're bringing that out is in the five stages above sadhana. Right, then the first stage is the Shravana Dasa, what we hear about. Right, so in other words, what we're taking part now is we're taking part in that aspect of Shravana Dasa, of Bhav Sadhana, though we're not on the platform of Bhav Sadhana. Bhav Sadhana extends down, because Bhava being the lowest element of Prema, then that means Sadhana before that has to be based on that first element. Right, let us say, we're going to teach something, right? And so then we have the first lesson, what you should know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, let's say someone doesn't even have the qualifications to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They don't even know what these words mean, or, they don't know the language, they don't know. So that means what's prior to that, the preparation for that, is still going to be based on the first lesson. It's an extension of the first lesson. So that means, from Shraddha up to through Ashakti, that is made out of the elements of Bhava, but at a level that we can relate to. But it doesn't take on the full nature of Bhava because we haven't gotten to the first lesson yet. Right? That, so sadhana means you're preparing, so now you can take up this first lesson. Does that make sense? So that's why you'll see elements of taste and attachment and all these things at earlier stages, but it's not enough to call it Bhava, because Bhava is consistent. Right? But that's how we get symptoms that the process is working, because we're getting these touches of these. Right? That's how, if we analyze, yeah. Right? And so that Shravana Dasa on the Bhava platform, when you get to that full, means that you appreciate the mood of Ragatmika Bhakti of the Brajabasis, and you're fixed in that appreciation. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The second stage is within Ragatmika Bhakti of Braj. Then there's the specifics of the Kamanuga or Sambandhanuga Bhakti.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then where you fit into that, that's Varna Dasa.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Not like the Sahajiyas, they take it, they try to move what's Varna Dasa to the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one, they take it as you're adjusting with that in the pastimes. But you don't even get to the pastimes technically till the fourth stage. You understand? So they try to move that fourth stage to the first. That's why the sahajas. And then you're not even technically on the first. You're in the sadhana aspects before that, possibly down in the kanista level, but trying to present it as if you're on these advanced levels in bhava. That's why it's called sahajya. It's just not scientific at all. Right? So dangerous, because people like to feel that they're better than they are. So that's why we avoid them. Right?
Okay. that principle of fake it until you make it.
Fake it until you make it. Yeah, but the problem is they don't. Well, it depends upon how you define make it.
Right.
So the Sahajiyas probably make it, but they don't actually make it according to Rupa Goswami's definition. Yeah? So they're just faking it, and that's all they're going to get. So here is that you follow the process. That's the beauty of bhakti, is that any soul is qualified to follow it. Your conditioning may not be qualified, but the soul proper is qualified. That means everybody can do. That's why you'll see if somebody will take it up. Let's say someone is cultured before they took up Krishna consciousness, then in their preliminary stages of sadhana, and that you'll see that they're cultured. Like that. They always are like that. Well, someone else who is, you know, but then those are cultured by their conditioning. But as they go, then they'll actually become qualities of the soul. Right? While someone else is, they take up Krishna consciousness, they weren't necessarily so cultured. Right? How you say? They lived outside that third ring around the what do you call it? What is that? The Arch of Triumph? You know, you have that big stone arch in the middle and the circles and all the streets go out from there? In Paris?
Arch of Triumph.
Yes. That one. Yeah, so you live past the third street.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, then when you take up Krishna consciousness, then you may not have nice qualities. But you're engaged in devotional service, you have faith, you serve, you do all the things. So, they don't have in their conditioning, but by performing devotional service, then they will gain it because the soul will have those qualities. Does that make sense? Yeah. So there's no need to fake it. You have to try to follow the standards. But there's no need to fake it. Okay. Sahajiyas fake it.
In sometimes some of the institute put advertisement. You didn't make it in plus two, no problem. You can still be an MBA graduate. And funny thing is, none of the top institutes ever put a...
None of the?
Top institutes ever put an advertisement like that. Only the...
Yes. The ones on the back of the buses in Calcutta. They're the only ones that put it up. On the walls, on the wall next to the airport, right?
Yeah.
They're the only one. Yes. So you don't have to. Like that. So that's the whole thing, is because devotional service, even the beginning stages, it's real. That's the thing. It can get more real, but it's always real. So you don't have to. No need to take it. 1.2.292. The appearance of that greed is indicated when the intelligence does not depend on rules of scripture and logic, right? It's not that, but it's the highest position. You know, I want that. That's logic and rules. So that's not greed. Does that make sense? It's just because you want. That's why then the question comes, you know, the question that keeps coming up, we've seen in the past of, well, can you change rasa? That means there's no greed. Because if you have greed, what do you care? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, let us say the person has this nice hot pizza and it's sitting there and he can eat it. You know? And while you're eating it, then one of the persons asks, but, you know, what if we wanted to eat, one of those white bread sandwiches with some butter and a few thinly sliced cucumbers on it? You know what I'm saying? That wouldn't come up. That's the whole point, is that if that's what you want, you couldn't care less. If he's eating the pizza and you come, what about this? Wouldn't you like a cucumber sandwich? No, I'm fine. You know, like that. But, you know, you like some Swedish bitters? No, I'm good. Like that. But. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's the whole point, is that if the greed is there, there's no question of, well, could I do this? Because that means then there's many, many focuses. So that will only come up with someone who is not exclusive of focus. So basically you could say, as a generic term, it will generally be a anxiety of someone below nishta. Because nishta generally means that one is fixed. It might be a doubt, but it won't be an anxiety. Right? But when you come to the advanced platform, especially when you come to Ruchi and then above, then it's focused on Krishna, and so there's no interest. What you're doing, that's fine. Good? Does that make sense? Yeah, because we always see it's always the one way. Well, you know, what if I'm a blade of grass? Can I become a gopi? No one said, well, what if, you know, I'm a gopi? What if I want to be a blade of grass? You know, you generally don't hear the question going in that direction. Yeah, because it has that social element. Maybe I'll be happier there. Maybe I'll get more. But the point is here, greed means it's not about the intelligence, because here you're analyzing. But here, greed does not depend on rules of scripture or logic. After analyzing to some degree the sweetness of their inhabitants in Braja, love through the process of hearing from the scripture. Right, so you look at it and go, is that this is, you're analyzing the love they have and you want that. So it's some. It's not that it's a whole technical thing and all this. You lock yourself in the room and then spend days making notes and all that. And then at the end you come out, yeah, so I think I want to be, you know. Does that make sense? It doesn't work like that. Srila Prabhupada. Eligibility for spontaneous devotional service. Persons desiring to follow in the footsteps of such eternal devotees of the Lord as the Vrishnis and Vrindavan denizens are called Raganuga devotees, which means that they are trying to attain to the perfection of those devotees, right? Because they're Rag Atmika. And then, following them, they're Rag Anuga. Anuga means to follow, right? So, here when you say is, when you're saying about the Vrishnis and Vrindavan residents, now, on the point is, you could, if we're looking at about the aspect of how to, that some, who is it? One of the Acharyas said that Ragatmika is only in Vrindavan. Right? And so if they're in Dwarka, it's not Ragatmika. But Prabhupada, by his indication, it is. Right? So, then what would be that application? Where does that go? Now, if you look at it, who's in Dwarka? The expansions of those in Vrindavan. So if you see it from that, because we're looking at it from here, there's Dwarka and there's Vrindavan. There's two separate things. But if you're sitting in Vrindavan and looking towards Dwarka, it's the same people over there. Right? Going out to Vaikuntha, it may be the same, but the mood changes, you know, completely. You know, it's just majesty. So in that way, then, you don't really make that much distinction, because it's the same person here that's the person in Dwarka and the Dwarka pastime. Does that make sense? Yeah. The other one is that analyzing it more from our standpoint. The other is analyzing it from, you know, at least, yeah, our standpoint. The other is from their standpoint.
From their point of view, it's only pastime.
Yeah. It's only pastime. It's just a matter of the flavor. Krishna's gone to Dwarka, so they go with him.
Yes.
Krishna goes to Vaikuntha, they go with him. He comes to his pastimes in the tour, they come with him. So it's just, for them, that's why it said that the Lord, you all, it means Brahma speaking of the demigods, that the demigods should take birth in the yacht of a dynasty, you know, to associate with, as the Lord comes with his eternal associates. Means that Yadu dynasty, don't get it up in somewhere else, right? Make sure it's that one, right? Because the Lord always comes down with his associates. Means those coming up, yes, then you make this distinction. But those coming down, they don't make the distinction. Like, we talk about Goloka and Gokul, we make it very much the two distinct places. But those from Goloka don't make that distinction. It's just one's up, one's down. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say you have a big house. You know, quite big. And in it, let us say for this discussion, we're going to have a very large living area, and this very large living area has a split level. An aspect of a split level in it that's down, you know, a little bit. And so then in that area, that lower area is closer to the door, and that's set up for when guests just come, they come and sit there. Does that make sense? And that otherwise, then the upper area, you know, it's still the one big room, is where it's set up more for the family to hang out and things like that. Or if it's more close friends, then you come up to there and stuff like that. Does this make sense? So do you see it as two living rooms? No, it's just one living room. It's just depending on sense. You're dealing with the conditioned souls. It's happening there. If you're not, you're dealing here. But it, but the point is, the interactions are going to be the same. Right? So the same way as you're in acting with Krishna, there's no conditioned souls. That's in Goloka, right? And when you're interacting in the environment where conditioned souls can be involved to come up, then that's Gokul or Boma Lila. So Goloka Lila and Boma Lila, right? Because they can both be called Gokul. So yeah, does that make sense? Because it's the same pastimes. That's why it's Gokul. Yes.
For this very same reason, it's very difficult for normally conditioned souls to understand that whether the jiva is falling from spiritual world or not.
Yes, it's the same thing. So it's just like dealing with these things, they become, it's like you can visualize it now. But it's been, you know, working with this is, you know, how you say it? The ninth year, end of the last day of the ninth year. And then it makes sense, right? Like that. And that's, for some, we were going for a few years before that, right? Before we got to, you know? So that's the point. It just takes time. It's by rendering service to Krishna reveals. It's not because we're sitting here and studying. That's why we're becoming so good at our academics and knowledge. It's because we're putting in the consistency of serving Krishna through Shravanam Kirtanam. Therefore, he's revealing. You know, Prabhupada gave these courses, you go through it, then Krishna will reveal. Because the Acharya has given them, if we go through them, why it won't work. So things before you'd have to spend days on, now we can just infer, and then it's understood. Does that make sense? So that's just, yeah. Okay. These Raga Nuga devotees do not follow the regular principles of devotional service very strictly, because it's not an intellectual aspect. But by spontaneous nature, they become attracted to some of the eternal associates, such as Nanda and Yashoda, and they try to follow in their footsteps spontaneously. There is a gradual development of the ambition to become like a particular devotee, and this activity is called Raga Nuga. It's the gradual development. It means if we don't have it, it'll be a gradual development. So we see someone just takes it up and it happens suddenly, because it was mentioned before. There is the sudden, but generally, how it's being described in Nectar Devotion is for those who it didn't happen. In other words, us. Right? So that is because then it's gradual. You go, as you become purified, the faith becomes more, we become more focused, then it becomes naturally just part of what's there. Right? Yeah, so it's not about they're not following the rule because this is what has to be done. They're following what is favorable for service. Does that make sense? Is this like, let's say, you're having something that, let's say, okay, you're at the temple, you're going to chant, you're planning, you're going to go to the temple, I'm going to chant there. And then you sit down and chant, start your chanting, you're going to sit and, you know, chant all your rounds or something. You know, you chant, when you sit down, you don't get up, you chant your 16 rounds. And you do this day in, day out. And so it's good. Now, let's say, is that, you know, you notice on the side of the temple there's a bit of commotion, you look up to see what's happening, and the devotees are getting together to go out for a Harinam for some special program. It's not a regular thing, but it's just somehow or another today it's happening. Someone invited them, they're doing some program and all that. So would you like to come? We're going to like this. You understand? So that it's Harinam, it's this and that. You say, okay, yes, let's go. That's spontaneous. The other Vaidhi would be is, no, I have to chant my rounds because I have this rule, I sit, I chant. You know, and the whole point is that's chanting, this is chanting, it's all chanting, it doesn't matter. It's good. You understand? Because it has that element of the intellect to it. Rag doesn't. But rag is following in the footsteps means you're doing devotional service. So there's no question they're not engaged in devotional service. We don't follow the rules, there's a good chance we're not engaged in devotional service. But for the Raga Nuga Bhakta, they're not following the specific rule of Vaidhis. They're doing something else instead. That's devotional service. So in other words, generally it means where areas where we would be engaging secondary rules in devotional service, they would just take a direct opportunity and not that. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like there's an opportunity to, like, again, you know, someone's giving a class, they're doing some special thing like that, but this is the time when you had planned to go home and mow the lawn and all that, so, you know, I got to get the lawn mowed, we got to be practical here. But, you know, for the other one, it's that, hey, you know, I can do that, you know, tomorrow I also have time. Even though tomorrow I had planned this, you know, I'm going to clean the garage, you know, like this. So then you just take part. That's the point, is that this spontaneous is that simple. And we can say, yeah, well, I've done that. Yeah, but we're not consistently doing that. So that's why it's not called rag. That we have done it, those are those elements that we were talking before, of those elements of bhava, that manifest, you know, throughout our devotional development. And if we think about it, those moments are some of the nicest moments in Krishna consciousness. That's why, because it has that just spontaneous, just wanting to do something nice for Krishna. Yeah. Where we decide, no, I'm going to be spontaneous. That's an intellectual decision that I'm going to be spontaneous. So it's not so spontaneous. Okay? Or not at least as much spontaneous as we would like.
Right, just like if you are to serve a great person, then in an official manner, then you have to follow all the rules because you don't know what he is.
Yes, yes.
But if you're related to his relatives, something, you have some knowledge, like, okay,
yeah,
what
that's
he likes.
A good one. Yeah.
Then you follow certain rules which pleases him, like through his family members who are the
Ragatma. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's there. Yeah, because with the other person, it'd be formal. If they say do this, then you go along with it. You know, hey, you want to get something to eat? Then yes, okay. But the other one is you'll just come up with it. Hey, you know, you're driving down the road. Hey, we could get something here. It's a great place. Yeah. You know, it's just. Nice. But it's all in connection with them. That's a very nice example. Okay, so you understand? So, in other words, the difference here in the examples is like what we saw before in the two presentations, is that one is you're presenting it from the side of the rules, and we're trying to say within the context of rules how it can be beyond the rules and still not be a breaking of the rules. You know, because the point is, as soon as we think we can break the rules, we will. So therefore, it's that you're not following the rules, but you're not breaking the rules, and that's just, so we're still using the intellectual. The other one is just personal. Is that it's a formal thing, so just as they do, you're just doing what the other is, you have that natural thing of how to serve and do things that they might like. But it's according to authority. You've learned from others what they like.
And also within this example, we can extract that somebody who is serving in the office for many, many years,
right,
he naturally has that spontaneity because he knows.
He knows, yeah, yeah.
The drivers who are serving their master for many, many years.
Yeah, they know where to drive, where to go, all things like that. Like, yeah, yes, it's just natural. Yeah, does that make sense? So in other words, when the personal comes out, I think you had mentioned it this morning, when the personal is there, all these other things fall in line. When the personal is there, when you actually are committed to Krishna as a person, that faith, that devotion, then the knowledge becomes easily understood and assimilated and practiced, and also following of the practices of devotional service become very natural. So the whole thing is we're trying to switch from this, I'm doing it from my position and connecting to Krishna, that it's about Krishna, and I'm including my position. Mm-hmm. Right? So in other words, the last instruction of Bhagavad Gita, that's the one that we're, that's this teetering point that we're trying to get more this side and less on that side. Because you see with the 11th canto, it's just about that. Before that, it's always been alluded, it's always been talked. Now that we see this, if you go back and look, then you'll see according to this. But it was presented, that was presented in a way that someone who's not on that platform would appreciate it. Does that make sense? Yeah.
And now if we are in constant association with devotees, we see like that, we have no chance to stay.
Yes, yes, yes.
Otherwise, if we have association with devotees,
that's the advantage of the holy name and Prabhupada's books, is that we can always have that association, but we have to take advantage. While the other ones, they will generally, you know, cuff you up the side of the head and make sure that you're doing. But, you know, ourselves, we may or may not, but if we take advantage, it works. Srila Jiva Goswami. When a person realizes to some degree the sweetness of the love and activities of the inhabitants of Braja, through hearing from the scriptures such as Bhagavatam, which describe these siddha devotees, his intelligence may develop disregard for the injunctions of scripture, shastram and logic, yuktim, though logic is certainly employed. Right? So his point is that you look at the two and you're seeing what the position. So you, even though you've used logic to come to this understanding, you're rejecting logic as that's what's going to give you the understanding.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Footnote 16. To make any sense of Scripture, logic must be used to understand the meaning of a statement. As well, there are contradictions in Scriptures. Logic must be used to bring about a conclusion. Right? But you have to see from a particular perspective. So that's what we're being given, is that perspective by which we can use the logic to appreciate it. But not that logic itself is going. So, in other words, we're applying logic to understand it, not that it's not logical, it doesn't make sense. Right? So, in other words, the point doesn't support logic, therefore it's not good. No. Logic may not support this point, but by trying to use it devotionally, then logically it will make sense. Krishna will reveal. Right? Because Krishna is logic. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. One can infer, lakshanam, that greed has arisen in the person from recognizing this symptom. Right? You can infer when you see this, right? Nevertheless, it is not possible to say the condition described is the real essence, sarup, of that greed, since that greed does not always include disregard for scriptural injunctions and logic, footnote 17, as a necessary component. Right? Okay, footnote 17. These are usual byproducts of greed. One may also develop greed without showing symptoms of disregard for rules of Shastra, scripture, and logic. Right? Does that make sense? So sometimes you may see someone who that happens, and then they slacken on certain technical rules and all that. But others, then they have that, and they still follow all that. It doesn't matter. But now they're just following because that's habit. Does that make sense? So the point is in the raga nuga, there's not a dependence on the rules. So if in their raga aspect, there's still dependence on the rules, that will give it'll have that element of majesty to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It will give that. It will be within the sambandhanuga,
yes,
and it will result in having that element of majesty to it. In other words, Vaidhi is the main aspect of it.
Yes.
But you might find some it means we're talking about those who we see is that there's a natural spontaneity and rules. Right? In other words, the one will get you to Dwarka. The other one is they're doing, and that's just by habit they're following. Just either they have that conditioning that they can follow these things, they've done it, it's the easiest way to do it, why do it somewhere else? And there's advantages to doing it, and there are other aspects of their devotion. So if it's there, it makes things orderly, it makes it close nicely, so you do it. You understand? So, yeah. Because otherwise, then some may say, no, but if they're following the rules, then they can't be spontaneous. That's why then we see Rupa Goswami, he's explaining that the Uttamadhikari is acting as a neophyte and following all the rules. Right? So you won't technically be able to tell the difference between the neophyte, the Madhyama, and the Uttama externally by what they're doing. You can see the quality of the attitude, the steadiness that's there, because the neophyte when following the rules tend to not be as steady. While the Uttama, if they're following the rule, they'll be very steady. It's like you see Raghunath Das Goswami, it's like his sadhana is like carving in a stone. It doesn't change. Right? Yeah. 293. Those qualified for Vaidhi Bhakti are dependent on the rules of scripture and favorable use of logic until the appearance of Bhava Bhakti. Right? So we see here is in general it's being brought out that this aspect of the spontaneity is going to happen more specifically from the platform of Bhava Bhakti. Right? It's going to be from that platform. There may be symptoms of it further down, like we see Ruchi, Asakti, definitely more of that kind of thing, and with Nishtha even, that there's a stableness means one's fixed in Krishna. So the attitude is there. But there may not be that greed happening at that point. Like we said, they may have an indication that, you know, they're interested. Like you ask any devotee, basically, in ISKCON, you know, are you interested, you know, you want to go to Vaikuntha, go to, you know, Dwarka, or go to Vrindavan. Basically, they'll all say Vrindavan. Some will say, well, I don't know, like this or that. And, you know, rarely, you know, some person might say, well, it doesn't matter as long as I get out of here. You know, so then, you know. You understand? But it indicates the whole point, because getting out of here means liberation, and Vaikuntha means liberation.
Yes.
It's about the four kinds of liberation. So you can see a flavor, but they'll all say Vrindavan. So they have that idea, but it doesn't mean that they're Raganuga. Our process is Raganuga, but we're following the sadhana for Raganuga. So we're finding the Vaidhi sadhana of Rag sadhana. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Actually, Prabhupada has already given us that by like first giving the Krishna book and the Nectar of Devotion, because that starts from hearing.
Yeah.
Having already heard, if somebody is qualified, he would actually...
Yes. Yeah, so Prabhupada started from the top and then brought it down to wherever we could catch it.
Yes.
Like if I've ever listened to the lectures, you know, in the lecture series from 66, Chaitanya Charitamrita, 1.5 hour classes, you know, you see the mood is very, you know, how you say, means it has the manifestation of the kind of ecstatic presentation. But you see, as time goes, as devotees aren't able to apply that, then he becomes a little bit more formal, and that talks a lot on, you know, not the body and those aspects.
Mm. Yeah.
So he starts with the one and then brings it down to where it's practical, we can catch it and use it. But he started from you know, giving that highest thing. Like you said, start off with 64 rounds, and okay, then 32, then okay, no less than 16. Is that yeah. You know, the point is being engaged, right? Because when we say 16, we mean 16 rounds on the beads and 48 rounds in service. We don't mean 16 on the beads and no more of that of service. That's not the point of 16. You know, you say, no, but you only have to chant 16. No, you're supposed to chant 64. That's the rule. Know that to be clear. Lord Chaitanya and Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you're not chanting 64, you're fallen. Right? But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out that this 64 rounds can be accomplished either by on the beads, counting on the beads, or minimum 16 on the beads, and then the balance of it can be done as direct service. That enthusiastic service. So in other words, that much should be accomplished. So this idea, no, we just do 16 rounds and sit back and I'm done for the day, that we kind of missed the point. No, you still have 48 more to go. But, you know, for most, it's done practically in service. That's how we'll keep busy.
Yes.
You know? So, yeah.
Smart is why service is very, very important.
Yes, that's why service is very important.
If there's no service, there is no...
Yes, because for us, chanting rounds all day is not necessarily service. We see that as chanting.
Yes.
Then there's service. Yes. But for someone like Haridas Thakur, the chanting is service.
Yes.
Right, what we see, he's sitting down in the evening... He sits down in the evening, he's chanting until morning. It's not that he's, you know, trying to finish his rounds. He's just chanting. Well, when the 16 rounds is done, like, you know, the beads get put down, you know, like that. It's like, yeah, okay. You know. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole thing. So therefore, then we don't see the balance 48 rounds as chanting. We see the balance of 48 rounds as service. So that's why one has to be nicely engaged. And that, and you can see that difference in those who are committed to that and are rendering service, like you can see that.
Yes.
Like that. To those who they're chanting 16, that's great. No one should think like that.
Yes.
But it just means then they'll do something else. But if that's all they do and then the rest of the work is just being practical in their own life, and that's good that they're chanting and they have that faith and all that. So those direct activities, they have the little morning program and do that, and that's good. But we'll see is that it could expand more. Right? Because the idea is 64 is minimum. You should be doing service 24/7 and always be absorbed in hearing, chanting, and remembering the Lord. Right? So, does that make sense?
So we can start by 64.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so we start with the 64, and we start with the 64 as 16 as service, and then the other 48. Now, if you can do 64 as japa and then do service, then that's also very nice, because you see some devotees do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, you know? Like that. You meet now and again. Like that, so. Like that. We had one devotee in the Gurukul, full-time ashram teacher. And they were an ashram teacher of small kids, you know, who need constant attention. And when I say ashram of small kids, the ashram had 80 kids in it. Right? 80 kids. So there were two teachers. And they just took care of that. And he chanted 64 rounds every day. You'd never know it. Right? Because of the service. Just that whenever there was some time that, you know, something else going on, he chanted. He didn't do something else. Right? In those days, we didn't have smartphones. Yeah, see, I'd be doing it too. Just, yeah, I got the smartphone. Yeah. And then the fun part was then, and I only found out after years that they were in the school doing the service that that was going on. And also then after a few more years, and I found out that they were on Ekadasi, they didn't eat. They fasted, full fast.
Indian.
Indian, yes, of course, Indian. Yeah, Indian, like that. Bengali. And even where they are now, that same person, wherever, whatever temple they're in, that's where all the Bengali devotees are. So you don't have to ask, where are the Bengali devotees these days? You just ask, where's this one devotee? Then you know they're all there. Yeah. You know, because they're so enthusiastic. So that's the whole point, is that they're doing that and service. So that's the best standard. If not, then at least you're getting 64 rounds worth of chanting and service done. You know? So, here? Yes. 1.2.293. Those qualified for Vaidhi Bhakti are dependent on the rules of scripture and fable the use of logic to the appearance of bhakti. Do we just read this? No.
Yes, Srila Prabhupada.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada. We must always remember, however, that such eagerness to follow in the footsteps of the denizens of Vraja, Vrindavan, is not possible unless one is freed from material contamination. Mm-hmm. So if we have material contamination, we won't have that inspiration to follow with such eagerness. He doesn't say we can't follow in the footsteps of that fully trying to surrender, and that, but we won't have that eagerness. Because it mentions that greed. Greed means eagerness. Right? Because greed means you want more. That's very eager. Right? It's not possible unless you become freed from material contamination. That's why we're saying is that this aspect can't come until after Anartha Nivritti. Right? And so by that coming in Anartha Nivritti, we become stable. Then at Nishta you can start to see a glimmer of this Raganuga aspect. But it specifically means Anartha Nivritti means we've given up the material body, or we've crossed and we've come to Bhava. That, you could say, is actually Anartha Nivritti. Right? For this, for Raganuga, the sadhana, take it up. But we see that even that goes later. That goes as one is practicing, then one's giving up more and more. In other words, they focus this exclusively on Krishna. Right? Prema, that means it's the faith is exclusively on Krishna alone and nothing else. And when it's, you could say, when it's, I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes a distinction in our development. I don't remember the levels, but he gives five levels. So then it's kind of like, you know, occasional, then regular, like this. And then he comes to, means how much we remove the anarthas, right? Because it's in this context. So that platform of when we're saying Sarup Siddhi means that Apan Das, where you can take part in the pastimes. You've already come to the Purva Rag, so you're fully absorbed in the Lord, there's no other focus. Then one's qualified to take part in the pastimes. That's called complete. The removal of the anartas is complete. Okay? Now here's the fun. Prema means the removal of the anartas is absolute. He makes a distinction. So complete means there isn't any, but then there's absolute. Right? So complete means there is no more hing in the box. Nothing. But there's still a fragrance.
There's no box.
No, there is a box. It just doesn't smell like hing anymore. Like that. You're not from the Chandra Mata. No. Just thought I'd speak that in. No, okay.
It just sounded very logical.
It sounded logical, yes. Okay. Does that make sense? Then you come down, and that's that stage. So then it will be, you know, quite a bit. You know, it will be substantial. And that'll put you in bhava, and then that'll put that, then become nishta, and then it's just, you've taken it up, you've taken up, you've had that face. So you can see is that it progresses. So yeah, that's good.
Nishta is like 60%?
And 60 is 75%. That's the middle of nishta. I'd say the beginning of nishta would be 60, but it'll look like nishta that it's obvious at 75 when it's, because each of these you can take and divide into three. Right? In other words, the first third of nishta will have the some elements of anartha nivriti still there. Then you have the middle of nishta, that's 75, will have, and it'll be nishta, it's fixed, you see that. But then the top third you start to see touches of ruchi coming. But it's not enough that you call it ruchi. And so when ruchi, you call it, when it does turn into ruchi, that bottom third, then that'll have that element of the steadiness. So it's not, but then that middle will be, that's fully taken, then it'll have a touch of attachment. Does that make sense? So each stage will have like that. So if that's appreciated, then one comes to see. So, yeah. In following the regulative principles of devotional service, there is a stage called anartha nivriti, which means the disappearance of all material contamination. Sometimes, right, disappearance means you don't see it. It means the practices and all that, you don't see them anymore. You're steady, what's stable. There may be within the heart, maybe within that. That's the 20. In other words, the 25 means the subtle stuff. Right? And the 75 means the gross stuff that we're used to looking at. And then the subtle stuff we see when we get rid of there is the sins and all that. That basically goes away right in the beginning. But there's these different levels of that. Because you have the sinful activities, but you also have the attachment to the pious. Then, I can't remember, then there's one in between. The top one is aparas. So each one goes away at a different level. So it's only at prema that aparads go away. Right? So, you know, we hear about how aparads are the worst. We just take it as that, well, this person committed an aparad and the external symptoms of what happened to him were no worse than someone else who just did sin. But the point is when you take up the chanting in our stable, then the reaction of the sin, that's gone. Right? But the aparad, the reaction, the effect of the aparad, maybe not the external reaction, but the effect, that goes all the way through, even into bhava. That's why we have to be very, very careful about, you know, the aparads, and especially of all of them, Vaishnava aparads. Does that make sense? So that's why we're so careful about it. You know, notice sometimes it's talking about because they are not completely freed from all sin, and they're talking about these living entities are in the pastimes, you know, but they're still coming up in the pastimes. You know, the gopis and other things that are not nitya siddhas, but they're coming up and they're in bhava. And it mentions about sin. This doesn't mean sin that we're working with. This means reactions of aparad. Does that make sense? So that's why we have to be very, very careful about that. That's why it's given. So, but for us, we don't make so much distinction because we look at the external. So how much more can it be? Like that. But the effect is, it's worse because its effect goes through devotion, through devotional service. You know, when that's gone, then you come to prema. And so it's just by association of devotees. There's no different process for it. But that's why we take advantage of the association and we're very careful about the how we're dealing. Does that make sense? So that's why we have to try. And then if there is something that we take forgiveness and, you know, these different things like that. There has to be some endeavor. Okay? So we will end the last class of this what do you call it?
Session.
Yeah, this session is turned. And wish everybody well, and we'll see you all next September. Right? Sorry?
Vedanta.
Yes. Because what we're studying now, these books are actually from the next level up. Means in the future the Sandarbhas will be in this course. But since they're not now, means that because we finished the other course, we just started the other ones because we have extra books that we're trying to catch up on.
Okay.
Like that. So whatever's here, they'll be counted there. But then from next, then we'll be starting next term. Then we'll be doing we'll do the, like we're doing now. That means the Sandarbhas, the first period, we'll do Nectar Devotion, the second period, and then the evening we'll do Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then when we only have the morning, then we'll figure out what's happening then, where we are in the works, and then which goes there. But, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita will always be there, and the other ones will go. So we start that next September.
Tonight, maybe we can all thank you for all the determination, patience that you have to send us way back today.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Thank you very much.
We're trying. Oh, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanasya.